I don't know if you ever read the comics. I always try to read the comics. Sherman's Lagoon. Two sharks. And she, you can tell the difference because she wears pearls. Anyway, she is, they're waking up in bed, and she says, "Happy New Year, Sherman." And he says, "Happy New Year." She says, "I've kept all my New Year's resolutions so far." And he says, "Well, it's only 8 a.m. She says, "But I'm going to be on a diet." And she says, "So I've kept my resolutions now till 8 a.m. And he pulls out a box from under the bed, and he says, "No, you ate this whole box of chocolate in your sleep." May the new year not be like that for us. May it be a different kind. May it be one of different celebration. In front of your bulletin, did you look at it? I always hunt around and poke and find these. I cannot cite the source. I pulled it off of a website somewhere, but look closely, if you will, at baby Jesus. And he's looking at the three magi, the three magicians, the three special visitors from the East. And I picked this picture because they are not white Anglo-Saxon men. They are people of color, people of ethnicity. They are people that are worldly. I went down a rabbit hole. It was kind of funny. I began to search for other pictures of the Magi with different cultures, Spanish and Tongan, Polynesian, Japanese, Chinese, and all of them reflecting and reflecting on how the Christ child and mother, and I don't have those pictures for you. I thought about doing that, and then I thought, we don't have that kind of time. And yet all of them reflecting that Christ came to the world. That this appearance and the appearance of the Magi reflects that. Here are people, non-Christian, non-Jewish, from far away, who have come. This isn't a local event. Yes, it is Mary and a baby in Bethlehem in a cattle stall in the food trough. Yes, it's a special thing that will make Bethlehem forever memorable in history. It's a momentous birth to the Hebrews if they accept, and everyone accepts Jesus' birth. Here's an important thing for you to reflect on in our society about people and religion. People are rejecting religion. One thing you need to reflect on very carefully is that nobody argues that Jesus was not a real person. Jesus was absolutely a real living person. Even non-believers in Christianity don't deny his existence. He was written about in other cultures, and the movement that he was a part of is reflected in histories that denounced it. So Jesus was real. What we think about him, that's a matter of faith. And we are gathered here for this. So this birth is a birth in Bethlehem, in Israel, to the Hebrew world, to the East, to the West, to generations not yet born, to all of us. We reflected on the three wise men. You remember the story of the little girl who had came home from Sunday school and was so happy to tell her mom about the three magi. They bring Jesus gold and myrrh and Frankenstein. It's an easy mistake to make, but frankincense, and what are those things? And someone gave me frankincense and myrrh. They didn't give me much gold, but they gave me frankincense and myrrh as examples once. And these are precious gifts, precious for their time. I've heard arguments that if it was United Methodist women or Tongan women that had come, they would have brought diapers and a casserole and helped with the birth. I don't doubt that a bit. But we need to recognize the worldly significance of the Christ child born. The birth of Jesus is reflected in our Bible, and it's an important part of understanding Jesus as we are now. We heard Luke's, but I want to just give you a quick highlight. This is out of Luke's. This is the story of Jesus' birth from the Gospel of Luke. In those days, a decree went out, you remember? That all the world would be registered. Joseph went to be registered with Mary to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in the manger because there was no place for them in the inn. There was no place, no posada. Keep that in the back of your minds, too. Matthew tells of the birth differently. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way when his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be from child by the Holy Spirit. An angel came to Joseph, said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. That's two of the Gospels. What are the other two? You remember the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. So we've heard of Luke. We've heard of Matthew. What about Mark? He doesn't talk about the baby at all. He doesn't talk about anything until Jesus comes and finds John baptizing. It's as an adult. So we don't have any virgin birth narrative from Mark. And then there's John. You know John, he talks a lot like Jesus. You ask a question, and it's as if he's not answering the question. He's in another world, which effectively he was. But here is John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Kind of confusing, that word. Translated from the word logos, L-O-G-O-S. Logos is translated word. That's how it's pronounced. But it is much more than that. It's a different word than that. It is God's divine expression. This is God's self given to us, before us. This is what logos is. And we use the word. So listen again. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being." Some theological things going on there. Co-created. Jesus, this divine expression, created with God, has always been a part of God. Not created by God, but with. So who is this Jesus to be? Growing up, the carpenter's son, we don't know a lot about those. We have no information about his time as a youth. Was he good in grade school? How did he do in junior high? We don't know. They didn't have such things per se, but you know what I'm talking about. How was he growing up? But we know who he is coming to be, the Christ, the Messiah. And Psalm 72 spelled that out. That's what Sandy read. She said, "This is a king of justice." Now stop and think about that a minute. Part of the last couple of years have been huge protests and reactions to a lack of justice, to a lack of equality, to a lack of people being in harmony one with another. Justice. And people demanding that justice, and rightly so. A righteous judge, fair, unbiased, unturned, unspoiled, a bringer of poor to the just, justice to the poor, a bringer of hope, a deliverer of the poor people and their causes, a deliverer for the needy, however that may be. And we think about needy a moment. We were talking about Christmas presents, weren't we, and how hard it is to buy a gift for somebody that has everything. And yet sometimes we need to pause and reflect, maybe we are the neediest. Have all these things that get in the way of our being. all these things that if there was a fire, you'd rush back in to save them. And why? They are things. But God is for the needy, all of us, a crusher of the oppressor. God's divine expression, this word, will be like rain that falls on mown grass, like showers that water the earth, like wet snow that comes to build the snowpack and restore the waters and restore the lands and fill the lakes. Under this prince, this logos, this divine expression, will righteousness will flourish and peace will abound until the moon is no more. This is good news. This is the best news. Amen? This is about who is coming, and this is Epiphany. Epiphany means the appearance, the sudden realization. You've heard that expression used at different times. You're sitting here and you go, oh, I just had an epiphany, and a little light bulb drawn over your head. It just came to me. And how many have you had times when you've had an epiphany, suddenly came to you, and looking back, you can realize that was God speaking to you? They're there. If you pause, if you reflect, if you listen, those epiphanies are with us all the time. What has come into being in the Logos, in the Word, in Jesus Christ, was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the darkness will not overcome it. This divine expression for all people, all places, all cultures, all languages, is a light that will not be quenched. So this divine being came and invited us. And before he left the earth, he invited the disciples to the table. Let us be those who come to the table and who share Christ and bring others to Christ's table. Amen.